This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. God's grace has brought us this far. If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn with me to the very first book. Flip all the way back to the left, book of Genesis, chapter 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 3, starting at verse number 8. If you found it, say amen.
Amen.
If you would, I would ask that you stand to your feet in honor of God's word. If you're still looking, say, help me, Lord. Be reading from the ESV version of the Bible. Read along with me silently as I read aloud from Genesis 3. And we'll read down through verse 12. It says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate.' Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you on today. We give you the honor that's due your name. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come together before your word on today, Lord. Lord, we come as an empty pitcher before a flowing fountain, asking you to fill us right now, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Fill us afresh and anew. Let your spirit rule and reign in this place. Lord, speak to me and through me to these your people. Lord, this is your Bible. These are your people. I'm your man for this moment. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. If I had to give today's sermon a topic, I would simply say questions in the garden. Questions in the garden. The question of old, the question that was asked there. So we read this scripture here in Chapter 3, there were many questions that were asked. I think as we look at them, the most important question, I think, was the question that God asked. He asked the question of Adam, the man he created. He said, "Adam, where you at?" You know, the old King James said, "Adam, where art thou?" ESV says, "Adam, where are you?" In the hood, we just say, "Where you at?" As I work with young people in texting and in the language, you get a question in the text that simply is WYA. And they're asking the question, "Where you at?" And we see here in the text, God is asking a question of Adam. Adam, where you at? Story was told about a warrior. A warrior. And this story is kind of near and dear to my heart because I have the privilege of coaching a group of high school young men, Pastor alluded to earlier, that'll be with us on tonight. And they're known as the Jenkins High School Warriors. My first name is Marco, and the root word of that name, Mark, in some cultures is known as Mighty Warrior. So the story is told about a warrior. In war, there is no conscientious objectors. There are no deferments on this battlefield. Fame and fortune will not keep you from the fight. You look at some of the names, John Daly of the PGA Golf, Phil Mickelson, they have their battles in this war. Mike Tyson, the great heavyweight champion, has battles in this war. Drew Carey, the host of Price is Right, has battles in this war. They've battled alcoholism, anger, arthritis, depression. I've battled in this war. Every one of you have battled in this war, the war of sin. See, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, sin entered the world and we entered into a war. But there's a warrior that came. The warrior that we'll talk about in today's lesson is none other than Jesus Christ. The man came earlier and talked about 2-1-1, and he said that 2-1-1 is the answer. Well, I beg to differ, because there's a warrior named Jesus. And the way I've learned is that Jesus is the answer. Beginning in Jesus, in Genesis 3, the Bible tells a story about the warrior who is also known as the Prince of Priests. He's the only warrior capable of winning this war. He alone will have the victory, and he alone will bring everlasting peace. We see in the garden, God placed Adam in a perfect place. Absolutely no sin, no need for greed. Everything he could possibly want, he had. God gave him a simple command. Don't eat from the Google tree. You look at me strange. Why do I call it the Google tree? It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, you can Google anything and you find a whole lot of knowledge there. Knowledge of good, knowledge of evil. So I like to call the tree in the midst of the garden the Google tree. There was the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. But why did God give the command? Why the question in the garden? We ask the question, why? There's good things on the internet. There's also bad things on the internet. It's a lot of information, a lot of knowledge. God told them not to eat of the Google tree because he didn't want them dependent upon their own knowledge. The Bible goes on in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and it says something about not leaning to our own understanding. See, some of us, we go off to college and we get degrees and we get our doctorates and our masters and our bachelors, and we have letters behind our names, and we can sometimes get high and mighty. Think we know it all, but I've learned that when you think you know, I don't think you know. God says, depend upon him and his spirit to lead us, to guide us, direct us. He knew that if Adam got a hold of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that he would no longer be dependent upon him, that he would break the fellowship. Here we see question Adam, where you at? Who told you you were naked? In other words, how do you know you were naked? God asks sometimes rhetorical questions because he's an all-knowing God. He's an omniscient God. So when he asks the question, he's asking a question he already knows the answer to. He's asking the question to see if you know the answer to the question. The problem is that we sometimes don't think about not what the answer to the question is, but what the problem is first. Stories told by a professor at Penn University that every year he would start his class and write two numbers on the board. He would write a 4 and a 2 next to each other on the board. And as the students begin to file in the classroom, he would ask them, what's the solution? And students would yell out, 6. Some would yell out, 2. Some would yell out, 8. And he's shaking his head, no. To every one of them, because none of them ever stopped to ask, what's the problem? No plus sign, no minus sign, no time sign, no division sign. We have to first ask, what's the problem, before we can get a solution to the answer. Adam was asked the question by God, where are you? Adam answered, I heard you walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and I hid myself because I was naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden from which I told you not to eat of? Adam began to do what we all do best. The game we love to play, that we all, I think, are experts at it, the blame game. Adam was so bold that he blamed it on God. Adam said, a woman that you gave me. He blamed it on God. He didn't even blame it on the woman. He blamed it on God. Look at where the emphasis is. He didn't say the woman gave me to eat. He said, the woman you gave me to eat. He blamed it on God. Questions. God, why you gave me this woman? I was doing fine by myself. You said it's not good that man should be alone. Now, mind you, now the Bible says in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, he created man and all of those things. And then later on, it says he created woman out of man, meaning he created womb man. He created man from the earth, Adam, meaning earth. He created man from the earth, but he took a rib out of the side of man and created man out of, created woman out of man for man. He said, it's not good that man should be alone, so I'll make a helper for you. So he created woman. So Adam, think back, I was doing fine by myself. No. It's possible that Adam was in the garden 1,000 years before God created Eve. We don't know. The Bible says one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. Adam was minding his own business. He was doing this thing, naming animals, ruling. He was a king over the earth's domain. And he said, God, you gave me this woman. He blamed it on God. Question. In the God. The question that's asked over and over again, Adam, where are you? The question is, where are the men? It's a question that women are asking all over. Single women are asking, where are the men? Where are the good men to marry? There's a lot of males out here, but the women are asking, where are the men? You know, some of us have the tools, some of us have the right plumbing. That's all it takes to be a male, but are you a man? That's the question. Where are the men? When we look at the question of biblical manhood, the question is not about Your anatomy is not about how you were born. It is about this question that God is asking is a question of position. God says, Adam, where are you? Adam, where you at? He is calling into question his position. Adam is hiding amongst the trees because he wasn't in his proper position. In order for us to be over what we're supposed to be over, we must be under what we're supposed to be under. Adam was out of position. He wasn't properly aligned with God. He had bought into the lie, and that many of us buy into, and I'm not going to apologize. We buy into the lie, happy wife, happy life. And we abdicate our responsibility to lead. We abdicate. Adam had bought into the lie. First of all, Adam wasn't doing his job that God had placed him in the garden to do. He had placed him in the garden. He said, cultivate it. He said, till it, work it. His responsibility was to provide and protect. God says, cultivate. He is giving you something. Pastor's talking about the gifts earlier. God blesses us with gifts, and he expects us to use those gifts to be productive. When he gave Adam the garden, he expected Adam to cultivate it. In other words, to produce something out of what he had gave him. He gave him the responsibility to work it and protect it. Now, I don't know about you, but if I see some slick dude talking to my wife, I'm going to step in. First problem I have with Adam is Adam was letting Slick have a conversation with his wife. Because if you read the story, the Bible says Adam, who was with her, she gave some of the fruit to Adam, who was with her. So that tells me that Adam was on the scene when they were having a conversation with the devil. Why would you even have a discussion with the devil? See, Adam was out of position because he didn't step in. Adam had already gave Eve the instructions that God gave him not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. And I think Adam did it on steroids. I think he told her, because look at the conversation. When Satan asked Eve, did God really say not to eat of the tree? Eve said, he didn't only say not to eat of it, but don't even touch it. So I'm bad. I believe that Adam said, Eve, don't eat of that Google tree. Matter of fact, don't even touch it. I don't even want you to brush up against it. Don't even go near it to be safe. So Adam gave her God's instructions on steroids. She got deceived by the devil. She said, well, that tree looked pretty good. Fruit looked good. I just think I have some. And she gave some to Adam, who was with her. Adam had abdicated his responsibility to lead in that instance. He had abdicated his responsibility to protect. And because of that, we experienced the fall that affected us all. Adam blamed God. By blaming God, he blamed Eve in the instance, but I would say it was Adam's fault. Because see, nothing happened when Eve ate of the fruit. But when Adam ate, everything changed. Now we might look at this story and say that God missed it. They didn't die. Scripture says, if you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. That was the instruction God gave them, but they died. Death is not just the separation of the soul and the body, but it's the separation of the spirit from God. And when he ate, the spirit was separated from God. That communion that they had with God in the garden, that place of perfect peace, was broken. That fellowship that they had. Hey, folks, we're in a war. Whether we realize it or not, we are in a war. And at this instance in the Bible, in the story, God said, I declare war. Y'all ever played that card game when you're growing up? I declare war. God said, I declare war on sin, on Satan, on the devil, on anyone who would rebel against me. I declare war, and we are in a war. We're in a war that we cannot win except for the warrior, the great warrior that God sent to save us. The warrior is none other than the Prince of Peace. He is the one that will take us back to that place of perfect peace, as it were in the garden. The war that we're in is a war for our souls. Pastor Tillman sent me a text yesterday, day before, not sure exactly when, but it's very encouraging. And as I'm in my preparation, I said, the Holy Spirit is working. Because he sent me something along the lines of, the devil wouldn't attack you. Let me read it so I don't get it wrong. He said, the devil wouldn't be attacking you so hard if there wasn't something holy inside you. Thieves don't break into empty houses. I declare to you that the devil is attacking you because there's something holy inside you and God is trying to bring it out. Amen. The devil comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. That's right. He's simply doing his job. The question is, are you aligned? Adam, where you at? Are you in position? Are you in proper position in order to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there? Adam, where you at? That's the question that's being asked, not just by women who are looking for a good man to marry. The question is being asked in the church. Adam, where you at? So I look across so many of our churches, not just in this city, but across our nation, across the world, we see 65 to 85% of the congregants are women. Adam, where you at? Women are doing the heavy lifting in the churches because men are not in position. Women are doing the heavy lifting because men aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Women are doing the heavy lifting in the home because a man won't lead his family in private devotion. If the woman is having to ask, are we going to church today? Something's wrong. If the woman are going to ask, are we doing devotion? Something wrong. Listen, you ain't even got to do the heavy lifting. Pastor does most of the heavy lifting. All you got to do is say, hey, let's get together. Let's discuss the sermon that Pastor preached Sunday. A lot of times when he preaches on Sunday, on Thursday Bible study, he's going over it again. Get together, circle your family around the table, and let's discuss it. You could cheat. You could just steal from the pastor and discuss further what you heard him preach. Paul said that the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures. Don't take my word for it. Search the scriptures. Adam, where you at? I'm talking to men today because men need men in their face. We started the season with probably 125 boys on our football team. Now that includes our freshman and JV team. Our varsity team, we probably dressed about 65 to 80. But the last game we played, our roster was down to 58. Because as men, as coaches, we challenge boys to grow up. We challenge boys to buy in. We challenge boys to be warriors. We challenge them to be combative. Football is not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. It's a combat sport. Basketball is a contact sport. Football is a collision sport. It's a violent sport. But understand this, as men, if we are silent when it comes to leading our families and leading our young boys, we are creating more violence than they could ever face in the streets. Silence is violence. This thing right here in my throat is known as the Adam's apple. The Adam's apple protects the vocal cords. It's a piece of cartilage that is so tender that just a little hit. Mr. Curry over there laughing because he loved to threaten to chop people in the throat. Satan attacks the Adam's apple because he wants to attack the voice of men. He wants to attack the voice of men because what happens when men struggle, they get silent. You don't believe me? Read the scriptures. Even Jesus got silent when he struggled. He was going through the passion. He didn't say a mumbling word. Men get silent, but I am calling on men to stand up and speak out. Adam, where you at? God gave Adam and Eve a choice. Provided a way of life filled with peace and power, joy and happiness, but they rejected that way. He gave them a word to obey, but they chose to disobey it. He gave them the will to follow his plan, but they didn't. From that moment until now, our number one enemy is the same snake in the grass. I need you to understand that the devil is alive. He's busy. He is alive, and he is in your home. He's in your family. He's in your marriage. He's in your school. He's in your thoughts. He's in your work life. See, the devil's best work is to make you think he don't exist. He wants you to make you think he's this cartoonish figure with a pitchfork and little red horns and a long tail. The word of God said the devil comes disguised as an angel of light. You don't know what he looked like. He looked smooth and dapper. GQ. Dressed to kill. Man, he looked just like your flavor. The one that tempts you the most. He looks just like whatever it is you struggle with. He's going to come and slide in just like he did that snake in the grass. Psst, I'll let you. Come here, shawty. Hey, look at that. Don't that look good? That do look kind of good, but God said don't touch that. God said don't eat that. But did he really, really say that? Is that what he really said? Questions in the God. The question is, where you at? Are you in position? Are you where you supposed to be? Because if you're not where you're supposed to be, then you are where you shouldn't be. It's that simple. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're not where you should be. Or you are where you shouldn't be. Questions. We are living in a day and age where the world is in turmoil. Wars on every continent. Economic crisis of the greatest proportion since the Great Depression. The Great Resignation. We've gone through the Great Depression, the Great Recession, and the Great Resignation. Cities and countries are declaring bankruptcy. Whole cities, whole nations are declaring bankruptcy because of the economic crisis. But I would beg to say that those are just symptoms of a greater problem. The greater problem is that we're in a spiritual problem. We're in spiritual trouble. And because we have not connected with the one who is the source, because we have not come and received the warrior that can win the war, we're in trouble. All that we see around us are just symptoms of the root cause. Look at what it said. From this point on, for the rest of the Old Testament through the Gospels, the mystery unfolds. A warrior is coming. He will be of the human race and come from a woman. Men need men so much that God became a man. He will not be an angel. He will not be a visitor from another world. He won't be just an ordinary human. He will also be God. So warrior is not just a man. The warrior is not just God. He is the God-man. God prophesied that when Jesus came, two bruisings would take place. If you look back at Genesis 3:15, it says, he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. The serpent's head would be bruised, and the Savior's heel would be bruised. The warrior would not go unbloodied. He must enter combat. He will not fight this battle without being wounded. He will be bruised. Isaiah said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. There's a second bruising to take place. Bruising of the serpent's head, a bruise that will ultimately destroy the serpent, the devil. He will ultimately be thrown into the lake of fire. The warrior took his bruising over 2,000 years ago at a place called Calvary. What about the snake? What about the bruising of his head? God promised that we are going to win this war if we're in his army. Adam! Where you at? See, if you're sitting on the sidelines watching, saying, oh, I do that when I'm old. Young people, newsflash, the graveyard ain't full of old people, it's full of dead people. Adam, where you at? Adam started a war he couldn't win against an enemy he couldn't beat. We face that same enemy and we fight the same war. However, we're going to win. Because we have a warrior who cannot lose. We're talking about the body of Christ, the army of God. And the question is, have you properly enlisted? I'm a military man. Spent 6 years in the Marine Corps. And I had to stand and pledge my allegiance to defend this country against enemies, foreign and domestic. When we enlist in God's army, and our commanding general standing there, he said that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, say, you shall be saved. He is calling you in the same way the posters of old said, Uncle Sam wants you, God wants you. He is calling you to enlist in his army. So much so that he came down through 40 and two generations. He was born of a woman, lived amongst us, went about doing good. They falsely accused him, put him through several mock trials. And they charged him guilty, although he was innocent. They hung him on a tree, stretched him wide, And there on that cross, he died for your sins and for mine. But I'm so glad the story doesn't stop there. See, they placed him in a bar tomb because he knew he wasn't going to be there long. I only needed a couple days, a couple, 2-3 days. He stayed there in that tomb all night, Friday night. See, the devil was dancing. The angels were sad. And the devils and his imps were throwing a party. We got him, y'all. It was Friday. But as old the great S.M. Lockridge would say, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. See, he stayed there all night, Friday, all day, Saturday, all night, Saturday night. But all night, on Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He sent it up to heaven and sent back the Holy Ghost to live in us, to work through us, that we might win this war. That great warrior is among us, and he's calling you. And as I close, I extend an invitation to you to join God's army. Will you be a warrior for Christ? The question is asked, where you at? Adam, where you at? God is asking the question. He is calling on you right now. If you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, this is the time to come and trust him. Will there be one? We extend an invitation to you to give your life to Christ, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't worry about all that you're struggling with. Don't worry about trying to get it together before you come to the church. See, the church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. When you say, I got to get myself together before I go to the church, that's like breaking your leg and saying, I got to wait till my leg heal before I go to the hospital. Come as you are. Come and trust him. Will there be one? He's calling you today. Tomorrow's not promised. Maybe you already know him in the pardon of your sins, and you're without a church home. You're out of position. You don't have a place where you can call home, where you can learn and grow and serve in the way which God has called you to serve. We extend an invitation to you to unite with this local body that you might fulfill your calling in Christ. Will you come and trust him at this time? Maybe you're watching us online and you decided you want to give your life to Christ. If you would simply text to the number on the screen, and we'll be sure to follow up with you. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Make a big deal. Praise God. Pray with me. If you're online, you're in this house, pray this prayer with me. Every head bow, every eye closed. It says, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you for saving me right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You prayed that prayer. Don't let anybody tell you, because the devil's going to come and lie and say, oh, you ain't really get saved. Salvation is not about a feeling. It's a fact. The word of God simply says if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you shall be, not maybe, might be, perhaps, says you shall be saved. So it's a definite fact. Reach out to us online. There's numbers across the screen. We can get with you on that. Type the word saved, S-A-V-E-D. S-A-V-E-D. Type the word saved to that number on the screen. And we'll reach out to you and follow up with you on that. God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. Let us go to God. Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you. We give you the glory and honor that's due your name, and we thank you once again for your son Jesus who died for us. Lord, we thank you for everything that's been said and done on today. And Lord, we ask that you would take these few scattered words we shared and that they would be found to fall on good ground, that it might take root and grow up and produce some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Have your way, Lord, even as we leave this place, Lord, we pray protection against the enemy as he'll come to steal the word out of our hearts, to distract us with the cares of this world. Lord, protect us. Allow us to go back to our respective places and find things better than they were when we left them. And have your way until we meet again. Now may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of your Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forevermore. Let every heart say amen.
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 Amen again. God bless you.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify. Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.